Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Anything going on with you? What's new?
Well, I at this moment, right as we were starting this podcast a few minutes ago, I was like, all right, I'll be right there. And I sat down and put my headphones on, and then I heard the telltale sound of like a truck driving down the street, and then it started doing the thing with beep, beep, it's backing up. I'm like, what's going on? It's taking too long. I'm doing a podcast. So I went out to the porch and saw a truck trying to make a basically back up into a driveway opposite me. And the thing that was potentially impairing it is that in order to kind of do that three-point turn thing where it's mm-hmm. backing up in the driveway, it was getting very close to my car. I was like, would you like me to move the car? And he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So I moved it across the street. And it's like, I have made him go stop the beepings faster, and he didn't crush my car with a giant truck. So win-win.
That's great. I discovered what shade of purple I chose for my menu bar thing that says that the air is very unhealthy. So that's great.
Yeah, is it like an ultraviolet purple?
It's just I can't be that precise with purple. It's purple.
Fair. Okay. All right.
It looks nice. It's purple.
I mean, it looks nice in the sense that it's, you know, a harbinger of doom, but
it really is. It really is. The air here is very bad. We had our orange sky day on Wednesday. That day the air was good.
I saw the pictures.
That day the air was good because the smoke was up. Now the smoke is back down here with us.
Mm.
It's less good. That's good. I did write on Sunday on Six Colors, a thing that was just completely unexpected. But quite honestly, I had nothing better to do at that point. I was trapped inside. Then the guy who asked me about dark mode for my Bitbar plugins, I had this realization that I literally had never tested any of them in dark mode because I don't use dark mode. And then I tested them all, and they're all terrible because it's black text on a black background. And so I wrote a little thing about like how you I had to find out how you detect that you're in dark mode or not, and then set up like, anyway, I did it. It was kind of fun. And I picked different colors for my, for the one with color. He wanted a monochrome one, which is boring, but fine. But I figured out like, oh, that means I can do the bright yellow when it's in dark mode, but that doesn't work when it's in light mode because you can't read the text. Bright yellow text on a white background is illegible. So that was a fun scripting thing.
I'm trying to think, like, I guess I don't tend to stream audio to, you know, our live stream servers when it's dark out. No, that's not true. I guess it depends on the time of year, right? Like, and because of the way dark mode works on Mac OS, as I saw some of our members talking about in Slack, I think it was here, it might have been one of the other Slacks, but dark mode on Mac OS will wait to switch if you have the automatic switch setting on until the computer is idle for a certain amount of time.
Interesting.
So I assume it on purpose. So I assume it doesn't do a thing where it's like super jarring.
Yeah,
everything suddenly changes.
Sweeps it all out from under you. And you're like, what happened? Yeah.
So if I start a stream, for example, when we do our TPK streams on Tuesday nights, if I start before the sort of sundown thing has registered, because right now it's summer and it's light fairly late, then it probably stays in light mode until I'm done, right? Because I'm at the computer constantly the whole time. So maybe I just haven't tested it because there aren't that many occasions where I'm using it. So I'll have to keep an eye out for that next time.
Yeah, it's a thing to think about, which is pretty funny, but I had not thought about it. And this is what happens. It's like a little taste of what happens when you write code for yourself versus writing code for the rest of the world. Because that's, for me, that's absolutely what it is I wrote this for me, and then somebody else used it and they didn't like it because it was not legible, and they're right. So anyway, I found an Apple script thing that you can just run in command line and get back basically a true or false about if it's in dark mode, and then I can use that in my scripts.
Smart.
And so I did.
Smart. It's very clever.
Which is fun. But yeah, very unhealthy air. So I did go on vacation for a couple of days, which is nice because entering a period here where Apple event on Tuesday, right? Theoretically no phone, but something, obviously. The rumors are watch and iPad.
Yep.
So a little event anyway, and then iPhone yet to come, which is, you know, we're entering the busy season presumably for Apple stuff. So I was glad to get a couple of days and just kind of go away.
This is my question, which we discussed on the Rebound a little bit this week, was, so if this event is let's say the Apple Watch and the iPad Air, presumably since the Pro got updated earlier this year, maybe a mini update possible, right, but not necessarily.
Possible.
And then some attendant software stuff. I assume they will announce iOS 14, iPad OS 14, Watch OS 7, because they're going to need them.
Can't ship a new watch without
watch, yeah,
the new iOS. Yeah.
So, you know, that seems a pretty full event to me. And then if the next one is the iPhone 12, which is going to be the vast majority of that event, I assume. My question is, is there going to be yet another event for the Apple Silicon Max, or is that going to be relegated to a press release and briefings or something like that? I'm just curious. It seems like weird to shoehorn it in with either of those other two.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing Apple release the first Apple Silicon Mac without making a big to-do over it.
Yeah, I agree.
And the rumors are that there is one, which, you know, they could be wrong. My issue is time, and this is something that came up when we were recording Upgrade this week, and somebody in the... we were trying to guess about event dates, and somebody pointed out the presidential election. And I thought, wow, I would be reluctant to announce products in November, only because the election will be over, right? But by all accounts, for those who don't follow this that closely, because of the increased usage of absentee ballots and mail-in ballots... Mm-hmm. It will, unless it's a landslide.
Oh yeah, it won't be done.
Probably not be able to be declared for at least a week. And it's entirely possible that it will be disputed and that the election will be, there'll be a, essentially, if you're Apple, do you want to have a product launch happen during a constitutional crisis in the United States, potentially? And again, maybe it's only a 5% chance of that or a 10% chance of it, but your contingency planning, do you want to do that or not? And what do you get out of that? Now, if they've got like an iPad Pro, and there was a rumor that there might actually be an iPad Pro as well, although it sounds like that's more likely for early next year, that's a new iPad Pro with a new processor. Can they do an event for just like a Mac? I don't think that makes as much sense, and we're running out of time. If the iPhone is getting delayed, we're running out of time. Now, they could possibly, since they're unveiling the... If this new iPad is using existing chips... So they're not unveiling
another good question.
The chip family. They could unveil the iPhone, but they could also unveil an Apple Silicon Mac in the iPhone presentation.
Yeah, it could happen.
And say this is part of our new chip family, and you'll be hearing more about it later. But like I don't know, it's weird. It's a really it's a tough
strange situation.
Guessing game to be in right now, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you that the Apple Silicon Max, it's such a major change that I cannot see them just being like, Tuesday morning some week, there's a press release, right? Like, that seems weird. Potentially something where they brief individuals, but even then, I kind of feel like they want to make a big deal out of it. They spent a lot of time talking about it, WWDC.
It's a huge point of pride that they're making their own processors.
Yeah. Unless, the processor thing is...
My unless is, and I forget if I said this here or somewhere else, but my caveat is, unless it's a MacBook and it's literally running the A12Z.
Yeah, I mean, so if it's just something where they slapped it in, they're like, hey, this is more a proof of concept than anything else. Okay.
Yeah. It's not even
a
new chip. It's just an existing chip, and it's like, we're starting the ball rolling, and look at it, it's got great battery life, and otherwise it's a normal Mac. But again, you know, you got to tie that to Big Sur.
Yeah.
And you know, Big Sur is not going to come out until October, it seems like. So, and the iPhone's going to come out in October. So it's just, it's weird.
The timing,
we're in weird times.
Close. Well, the processor thing, you make a great, another point about the processor, which I wrote about in the Macworld piece I have coming up next week, which is sort of an event preview. But one of the questions I had about that was, the current iPad Air, which is about a year and a half old, uses, I believe, an A12. And... the current iPad Pro uses that A12Z, which is essentially a slightly better version of the A12.
Exactly.
If you're going to release a new iPad Air right now, what chip do you put in it? It seems like, I mean, anything you can put in it is going to be at least as good as the iPad Pro, right? Might have different, might be clocked differently, the different amounts of RAM, et cetera.
I have a hard time believing they're going to announce the A14 line with an iPad. Right.
Especially with not even a top of the line iPad, right?
No. So I think what's happening here is that the iPad Air is going to get the A13.
Yeah, that's...
Or no, A12Z. Although it could get an A13X, right?
A13X, yeah.
If there is such a beast. But either way, it's going to be... Even if they got the A12Z that the iPad Pro has, or an A12X that the old iPad Pros had, even if it gets something like that, it's okay, because those iPad Pros are going to get updated next year, presumably, right? Like, presumably they're going to get a real update, because this last iPad Pro update was essentially not even an update, other than the camera. Like, one extra GPU core, it basically was not an update. So, there will be an iPad Pro update, and probably soon. So, bringing the iPad Air kind of up to spec with the iPad Pro for a few months, I think it's fine. So, they could create an A13 variant. We've never seen that, right? They skipped it. They've just done the A12 on the iPad Pro. So they could do an A13 on that iPad Air. I don't see them doing an A14. So it's either they bring them up to spec with the iPad Pro on the 12, or there's a new chip that only goes in this one model, these two models, if there's an iPad Mini. That's a little weird, but they could do it.
It's odd, because they changed their... When they released the A5, every model after that had an X variant up until the 10. And then they skipped it on the 11. The 12 did have, and the 12 had both the X and the Z.
Right.
So,
which is just the X with an extra.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if, like, core, you know, lining those things up at some point might have, they've just ran into a hurdle at some point where they're like, look, we can't. By the time we release this X variant, we're going to be on to the 12. It doesn't make sense or whatever. And so I think they kind of hit that again, potentially with the 13, is like, well, by the time we need a 13 variant, we're going to be on to the 14 and so much stuff. Does it make sense for us to do an A13 variant, or do we just sort of keep pushing the envelope forward? I imagine they prefer to have a nice little neat, it's the A blank and the A blank X. And like, that's what we do every year, but sometimes it doesn't work out.
Yeah. So if this iPad is part of the announcement, my guess is that it'll be an A12X. And they'll just, you know, use that, and it's an upgrade, and it's perfectly fast, right? It's a very fast chip.
And it's presumably cheaper to make.
And it'll work for a while and give that new model plenty of life, and they can just move on with it. So if that's the case, then so be it.
I am interested in the Air announcement, because I feel like it is interesting to see how Apple positions what is essentially its kind of workhorse, you know, like mid-range iPad, right? You know, with the Pro getting an update, meager though it may be, this year, and adding things like support for the Magic Keyboard, I kind of assume the Air will have Magic Keyboard support, because why wouldn't you want to broaden the market of potential people who could buy your fancy new expensive keyboard? And sure, you lose a differentiator on the Pro there, but I think, again, as you said, with more Pro updates coming down the pipe at some point, probably in the not too distant future, that may not be as big a concern.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you. I think that the best scenario here is, assuming that the iPad Air is the size of the smaller iPad Pro.
That's the other question, yeah.
And the shape of it, you would make it, it would then be Magic Keyboard compatible. I'm not 100% sure they're going to do that, right? I'm not 100% sure they're going to go to that length. But if they do, then yeah, you should. At that point, it's practically a low-end iPad Pro, which, again, is weird unless you realize that those iPad Pros are going to get updated pretty soon anyway.
Yeah.
And that Apple has not had a lot of fear in rolling a lot of features down fairly quickly to the other iPad models. The assumption I'm making as well is that if this thing really does have sort of iPad Pro styling, and it's got the flat sides and all of that, that it's going to do Apple Pencil 2 support as well.
Right.
But
it seems, I don't, again, I'm not sure why you wouldn't, unless it's a cost thing, really. I mean, it's just, there, again, the opportunity to potentially sell more of these accessories is always good. And I think the differentiator for the Pro will be more about performance, I think, than anything else. And, you know, certainly there's under the hood stuff that varies that Apple doesn't get into, like RAM, right? Mm-hmm. Like, certainly possible that the iPad Pro will still likely have more RAM. There's things with like screen technology, etc. I think the rumors, there's been rumors of both a 10.8 and 11 inch iPad sort of floating around there, and certainly one of those might be like the 10.8 might be the new Air and the 11 might be the Pro that's coming next year. Hard to know. Could be that this is also an 11.
If they take the existing 10.5 inch iPad Air and just make it bezel-less, that's going to be bigger than a 10.5 in the same space. And that's your 10.8, right? Is something like that.
Right. Yeah.
So that may be very much what it is. And then that's not going to be the size of the 11-inch iPad Pro. And so it's not going to use that keyboard. Presumably it would still use the old stuff. But there is a rumor that the smart connector has moved on the new iPad 2. Again, the rumors, this is the thing with the rumors, is like, what do you believe and what do you not believe?
Sure.
But if that's on the back, then at least they're going to make a smart keyboard for it. And I agree with you, which is, why not make it the same size as the 11-inch iPad Pro so you can use the same accessories on it? And maybe it's just got the A12X and it's not, you know, and it doesn't have Face ID and it doesn't have the all the great cameras in the back, but it's got Touch ID and the home button or whatever, and it's cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, I still have the last of the Pros from the pre-redesign.
Sure.
The 10.5. And I think the new Air is essentially that chassis. I think they use basically interchangeable.
Yes, and compatible with it's got access to all of those, what we used to think of as iPad Pro accessories.
Right. So I can kind of see them going that direction again.
Yep.
And saying like, all right, we're revamping the Air and it's basically like the older quote unquote Pro that will be superseded.
Right,
by something
which
else.
Is still shipping, but that's the thing, is I just keep thinking, don't get hung up on those iPad Pros, because you can have them be differentiated a little bit, and then they're going to get an update next year and be completely different and completely differentiated somehow. And it won't have the cameras and it won't have the Face ID. And, you know, like they'll find a way to differentiate it enough, but it does mean that they can bring in like accessory compatibility. And to your point, like, I don't know, are people going to spend $500 on an iPad Air and then another $300 on a keyboard? Maybe they will. And if you're Apple, you're like, why would we not sell them one if we could?
That's money in the bank.
And then they've got a lower price iPad with a keyboard and trackpad story to tell. And that's good for them.
I think that's a big thing. With them integrating this so much into the OS, leaving the older ones to essentially the third, or like, not the older, the lower end models to the third party market, seems like seeding territory that you don't need to. Like, if it fits, right, again, like you said, if it's the same as the 11 inch roughly, then you might as well, because if you're not making money on that, Logitech's gonna make money.
Why have that many different sizes? So
it seems ridiculous.
I don't know. I'm we'll see. Interested. Mike and I are doing the draft on Monday and for upgrade, and I don't really even know. It's going to be very different, because I think we have to take these rumors on their face and say that this is, it looks to me like people have been told like that this is not an iPhone event, that they are setting the expectations. Like John Pikowski said, there's not going to be an iPhone at this event. And that read to me as somebody at Apple said, here's the high sign, there's not going to be an iPhone at this event.
Yeah. And I mean, we already heard Luca. And I think that was kind of the first soft. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It wasn't like it's going to be delayed a little bit, which would be, everyone would be like, oh, late September.
Yeah.
No, it was weeks, and weeks means more than two.
it means more than one, but I think
it means more than one, but they meant more than two.
I think that's right. So, I don't know what we're going to do and what we're going to pick, and like the whole predict what Apple's going to do this fall. I mean, I think the net is going to be pretty much what we understand it to be, but how they roll it all out
is
an open question. And the other thing is, you don't need 2 hours for all this stuff, right? Like, that's the beauty of it, is they can be as long as they need to be.
It's pre-taped.
And they don't have to invite people and stuff. Like, you can do more events if you want to,
if you're
Apple.
Don't have to do logistics, where it's just like, we need to just have somebody come in and film for an afternoon.
All of their like press briefings and stuff, there is logistics for each one of those, because there's a round of press briefings.
It's not the same as putting on a show.
But it's not. That's exactly right.
Well, here's my other question. I mean, you know, I won't snake too much your draft territory there, as it were. But the Series 6 Apple Watch is the thing that's kind of up in the air for me, because I literally have no idea what that is. I mean, there have been rumors today and a little earlier in the week that essentially there will be a cheaper version of the Series 4 that sort of replaces the Series 3.
Right.
That makes perfect sense to me. You want to get rid of those old watches with the smaller displays,
yep,
and you have everything kind of look newer and more modern. Great, that makes perfect sense. We'll just use probably a slightly older chip, or it might even be the Series 4 just slightly tweaked a little bit. I don't know what the Series 6 is because I'm not sure what's missing at this point. It kind of felt like the always-on display last year was a big,
right,
you know, sort of hanging feature there that everybody had wanted since early on. I'm not sure I could point to something else right now that people have been like, you know, the Apple Watch really needs X. So it's a question of whether they have something waiting in the wings that they're like, well, we've been, you know, waiting to add this functionality, or whether this is just more of a like a speed bump, which seems harder for the watch. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, with watchOS adding sleep stuff, I keep thinking, are they going to have some hardware that's specifically tuned towards sleep, sleep analysis in a way that is not possible on current ones, so that they won't be as full-featured as this is? But if that was true, they could have also withheld sleep as a feature at WWDC and just sprung it on us. There's always rumors about more sensors. Sensors are hard to do, and if you're going to use them in health and medical contexts, you have to get approval, which is hard.
I'm sure
they will do something. It's interesting that we haven't. I mean, it turns out the watch development is actually bundled up pretty tight, because last year we really didn't know what they were doing with the watch either. In fact, I speculated last year that maybe they just wouldn't do a watch update, which they did, and it was actually substantial because they did the always-on display. But that seems to be harder to get the rumors about. So I don't know. I mean, there are extending battery life alone, rated battery life, would help for something like sleep, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be good, but it's not like a sexy feature,
it's
right?
Not. Like, it's not. I don't know.
I don't know what they are.
So
that one puzzles me. I firmly believe that there will be something. I cannot fathom exactly what it might be. The stuff that's been floated around is pretty. I mean, like, there's the oximeter, like, blood oxygen thing, which it already does
like, but it doesn't show it in a traditional way. It just uses it for your fitness calculations. Yeah,
right. And so the question is, like, well, maybe again they would upgrade the hardware so it gives like more precise blood oxygen measurements or something on the new watch, and the older watch, like, oh, you'll get it, it's just not as good or something. I don't know.
I mean, it would sure help them, I think, if they had a kind of a COVID-19 story to tell about this product, but that is very hard to do because of the way
the timing.
You have to do regulations and you do product development years in advance and all of those things. So who knows? But the idea that I heard that I think is intriguing is, what if the lower cost watch is a different product? And I don't think they're going to do this, because I think it fits perfectly into Tim Cook's game to use essentially existing products and have it be an Apple Watch special edition, essentially. It's an SE. It's old tech, slightly upgraded, but otherwise just kind of maintaining it on the price list, because it lets them compete with
Fitbit and
everything else. But I am kind of intrigued by the idea of Apple doing a fitness band that is like a super stripped down Apple Watch that's just doing kind of like logging and basic notification and syncing with your phone, and is not a standalone device like Fitbit makes. I don't think that's a game Apple even wants to play, because Apple really does believe in having, you know, an application environment and all of that, and a rich platform for people. And yet, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I'm sure they've mocked them up, but the idea that, like, you've got an iPhone, so you just use this fitness band and it talks to the fitness app on your iPhone, and it syncs with HealthKit and all of that, and otherwise it's you know, super lightweight and lasts a long time and is not an Apple Watch. I don't think, given what the price of the cheap Apple Watch is now,
it's
I don't think they
bucks,
I don't
right?
think
like,
they should.
I mean, that's hard to get under that.
Yeah, I don't think they should even bother, because right, they can go down to 150 with a slimmed down iPhone SE or something if they needed to. Do they need to go down to $99 for a fitness band?
I don't think they do.
I think they want people in the Apple Watch. So I'm fascinated by the idea, but I don't think it makes any sense for them.
I like the idea that it's, you know, it's the Apple Watch shuffle, right? Like the cheap Apple Watch.
Yeah.
No button, no screen.
Well, there are people who don't want a smartwatch
and don't want an Apple Watch. Sell to them.
And that's the thing is, do you want to go in there and try to beat Fitbit at their game? Because it is also Fitbit's game. And if you take away all of the Apple Watchy stuff and you're just left with syncing with HealthKit, well, like, that's how much of a differentiator is that? And the margins on that product aren't going to be great. And you're not, there's some loss of potential Apple Watch sales. So I think it's more likely that, yeah, they'll take the Apple Watch Series 3 or 4 and make it an affordable version for sale for another couple of years, and they're going to just iPhone SE that thing.
Exactly. It follows the iPhone pattern so well that I have no trouble believing that.
I think so.
Yeah. Oh. We'll find out.
We will. I mean, that's the thing is, they gave us a week's notice, so
boom. I mean, you don't have to go any more than that when you're not inviting people to fly out. And frankly,
right.
They used to do it when people were flying out anyways. They still give them a week's notice.
They did.
So
once or twice.
Yeah. Just enough time to, you know, write all our breathless pieces anticipating what's going to happen.
Exactly.
They like that week worth of just like press with the speculation. It's good for them.
They do.
Gets a lot of attention.
And then they get all the press afterward too. So like, this is their goal. This is their plan, is to get promoted and sell product. And
yeah, I don't think I'm going to buy anything that's coming out of this event though. I have to say, I'm not really in the market for either a watch or an iPad replacement right now. But
I agree. I mean, I'm an iPad Pro user, so while I'm interested in the iPad Air as a product in the iPad lineup that extends the appeal of the iPad, I'm not going to buy it. And Apple Watch the same way. I actually have the current Apple Watch, and it's great. And again, I maybe they'll change my mind, but I'm having a hard time seeing why I would update.
I'm on a 4, so I don't have the always-on screen, which is the one thing that I miss. But also, I went from a 0 to a 4, and I kind of felt like that was
It
felt like a very significant upgrade. So I feel like I'm a year or two out from that. And the Air, I'm tempted because I'm not necessarily someone who needs everything that a Pro can do on the iPad side. But at the same time, I know that if there's a Pro revamp in 6 months and I buy the Air now, I'll be like kicking myself a little bit thinking, oh man, but it's got all these cool new features in the new Pro. If I just waited 6 months, and I'm not, I mean, even the iPad Pro I have now, it's old, but it's fine. So I'm not in like a rush. The only thing that I'm in a rush for is whatever Apple Silicon laptop they roll out. But yeah, if that doesn't happen next week, it's fine. I'll make it. I'll survive another few weeks until they roll that out. I hope.
Nice. All right. I don't know. Well, anything else? We got some new Apple stuff about streaming and stuff, but I'm just so exhausted of that whole story. But basically,
I think it's funny because it's them. They just wrote down the thing that they told everybody earlier.
Yes, is that if you want to have a streaming service like Xbox, Game Pass, or the one from Google, Stadia. The way you have to do it on iOS is you must submit essentially an app that connects to your server and plays one game and submit it as a game and have it approved. And then it needs to be able to run and play like a demo level. And it needs to support in-app purchase if there's in-app purchase in it. And you basically... So what Apple's saying is, well, you can do streaming games, but they must behave like regular apps. And then you can also make your Xbox Game Pass app directory that lets you download those games from the App Store and launch them. But
you must use a IAP for a subscription, and you have to approve every single game, and every single game has to have an App Store listing.
Yeah.
So basically, this is never happening. Well, not never, but it's not happening until those rules change, because none of these companies are going through that process.
Well,
and so, just to give Apple 30%.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. I do believe that this is Apple essentially outlawing game streaming without saying so, which I think is kind of cowardly.
Yep.
I also think it's cowardly to run away from game streaming, because if game streaming is going to be a thing, you can either get on board.
It's dumb, too. It's not just cowardly. It's shooting yourself in the foot.
It's potentially quite self-defeating, right? But it's actually one of my least favorite things in all of business, which is prioritizing short-term gain. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. But here's the thing. They did do this and say, basically, theoretically, you could get in. And I'm sure that they've already done this math, but... like, if I were Google or Microsoft, I would do the math on how much would it cost me to do what Apple asks? And would it be worth it to get access to that market? And I think that's the question. I think the answer is going to be, cost as much effort, or whether it's technological and also submitting to the App Store, it probably doesn't cost as much as you'd think, but it's probably not worth it.
But, I mean, it's also to address that market, knowing that you're never going to get more than 70% or whatever.
I don't think that's true, because I think if you're an existing Game Pass customer and you log in, you would get all of the stuff without going through Apple. But it does mean that they would make you have to do in-app purchase. And, like, that means theoretically you could buy, like, one game through Game Pass instead of becoming a member, which would be like I think there are places where this just breaks down with the way that they've built these things, because they're just Xbox games. And right. And so I don't think it works. But I'm fascinated by that, because I would love to know what the math is on, like, because it's not like Microsoft couldn't do it. It's just that they don't want to do it.
Is it weird, too, just the idea that, like, if every game has to be listed individually and, like, behave like an individual app, does that essentially mean they're, like, building every single app, quote unquote, is like a game streamer with that game built in? So they're building, like, a framework.
Yeah, they're building a single game that calls a different ID and has a different icon and gets submitted separately and then boots up with the, you know, are you logged in as a member or not? And then if not, then you play the demo version, essentially, and then you have to pay in app or...
So weird.
Right, which... I mean, somebody was pointing out in one of our many Slacks today that this is essentially what they told book distributors not to do, which is make every book that you sell its own app.
An app, yeah.
This is what they're saying is every game you sell has to be its own app.
Right. I mean, and I guess, you know, there's an argument in there as well that it's sort of it's almost a publicity thing for them, too, to be like, look how many more games we all have on the App Store now. And all these games that are like AAA titles, right? Like, you want to play Halo, we've got it on the App Store now. Like, I can see why they would want that. I just think it's stupid. It's very Apple-like in the way that they've made this decision. They are, if nothing else, consistent to the way that they... describe their business, but it seems to me to be, I think it is just short-sighted. I think it is just missing the point. And if it's just about the money, I think you're right. You could do the math, you could see if it makes sense. But I think there is, you know, certainly it would be funny to watch Epic make a game streaming store on iOS. That would be pretty amusing for everybody involved. But I feel like there's probably some degree of principle that gets tied up in this, just with, like, you know, companies not wanting to deal with it or essentially look like they're ceding their authority here. So I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I don't think so. And that's really the bottom line here is, I think Apple intends for this to essentially effectively ban those services. Mm-hmm. And yet they're going to try to look like they're being reasonable and not afraid. But they aren't being reasonable, and they are afraid. Like, and that if they really were proud of this decision, they would just say, we aren't comfortable with streaming services like this on our platform. We just want regular apps. And that's not really what they said. They said, well, we welcome these services as long as they follow our rules. And, you know, we don't make the rules. Yes, you do. We make the rules. But these are what the rules are. And it's just, again, I come back to it. I think it's a little bit cowardly. I think they really just don't want to be in the business of providing a platform for these services, period. And fair enough. But this seems like a ploy to make them look not as bad. And I'm not sure it'll work, really.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, it, I mean, I don't think it makes or breaks those game streaming services either way, but I think it potentially slows down their adoption a little bit because of the fact that if you want to do it, you're going to have to buy like an Android tablet or something for like that aspect of mobile gaming.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, like, because I think it's a cool idea and I don't want to buy an Android tablet.
Yeah, I know, right?
But oh well.
Oh well. All right. Well, we will be back next week on the 18th, right? You and me?
That's right.
And who knows what the world will look like then? Slightly different than now. Hopefully with less smoke in the air.
Hopefully.
That's what I'm crossing my fingers for. But until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.